Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on, Friday Night Racing.
Okay, it's Friday, so we're turning to racing, and we're delighted to be joined by Don McLean and Jane Mangan. Jane, we've stood Ruby down for the weekend. He was getting a few things wrong, so myself and Marie are going to handle it. We just thought he was a little bit off on his horse knowledge over the last few weeks.
Oh, jeez. Well, look, no better people to take over the mantle. Marie has been telling me what to do there the last couple of weeks, so I'm interested this weekend to see her point of view.
Yeah. And we'll chat.
I'd like to see you say that to Ruby's face, Donica.
No, I am very brave when he's not in studio. And I actually know he's in England today as well, so hopefully he won't hear it.
When he's here, you just offer him tea and biscuits and ask him, can you do anything for him?
Don, I was actually rubbing his feet the other night.
Yeah, not surprised. Yeah. I know. Ruby, he's a good stand-in, all right. He's a good backup to have, isn't he?
Yeah, very true. We'll kick it off, guys, with the Clarence House Chase in Ascot on Saturday, the big rematch. Don, who do you fancy in it?
Yeah, look, it's the rematch between Defi de Soy and On the Sow, Donica. And Defi de Soy is favourite, which you understand why he beat On the Sow the last time. He's the younger horse. He's 7. On the Sow's just turned 12. Like, he's just a remarkable racehorse, On the Sow. And even as an 11, nearly 12-year-old, the last time in the Tingle Creek Chase in December, he put it up to Defi de Soy, and he was coming back at him going to the line. And even Barry Geraghty, I kind of thought Defi de Soy maybe was idling on the run to the line, but Barry Geraghty seemed to think that he was, you know, he was given his all and he just got to the line, was On the Sow. He's just an unbelievable horse. It's going to be even softer ground now at Ascot tomorrow than it was at Sandown, and that'll suit On the Sow better. Look, Defi de Soy, he's a potential champion chase horse, and he's the young horse on the up. He continues to progress, but it's not a given that he's going to beat him again. You know, if the ground is very, very testing, On the Sow will love that. And he's a bigger price than Defi de Soy. I'd probably have them, you know, you'd probably bet even money each of two, really, Donica. Whereas at the minute, it's shade of odds on Defi de Soy, and On the Sow's a 6-4 or 13-8 shot. So I think On the Sow, you know, it's not really a race to have a bet in, but I just have On the Sow closer in the market to Defi de Soy than he is.
Jane, for everyone outside, it's great when you get a head-to-head like this. Is it the same for you, or is there anyone else in the field that you think people are riding off?
No, I do think it's a match, and I do think it's probably best, you know, sometimes numerically when there's a small number of runners, it doesn't, you know, I prefer a smaller number runner race than a 20 runner race with horses potentially getting in the way of the main horses. Defi de Soy and On the Sow on ratings are head and shoulders. Janika actually on ratings is close enough, but he was a distant fourth in the Tingle Creek, and I wouldn't imagine him improving to get near the main two. Some people maybe said that Defi de Soy was idling when he got to the front in the Tingle Creek, but I thought Barry was very good on him on the day. He only held on by a neck. On the Sow was really coming at him hard in the last couple of hundred yards after the back of the last, and I would expect it to be a close run thing again. Obviously, Don alluded to the ground on the Sow. It's a key factor for him to have soft ground. He's 12 years of age now. And he really likes this race. He's won it 3 times in the past. He finished second to, or he didn't actually run it last year when Altior won it. And I think you would write him off at your pearl. Defi de Soy is a very good horse. He was last year's top novice. And he's probably on form, leading contender for the champion chase this year. But On the Sow loves this race.
Don, the champion hurdle trial at Haydock, what can we expect there?
Yeah, this is very interesting as well, Marie. Pentland Hills was he was the Triumph Hurdle winner from last year, 4-year-old, just turned 5, and while he was only 5th in the International Hurdle on his debut this season, he travelled very well through the race. He was probably a little bit keen early on, and he ended up towards the far side in the home straight, which was probably on the worst of the ground, and he just kind of faded up the hill, but he ran very well for a seasonal debutant, taking on the older horses for the first time. So I think, despite the fact that he was beaten, he probably enhanced his reputation as a result, but it is difficult for the 4-year-old, 4 going 5-year-olds, when they take on the older horses over hurdles off more or less level weights. He still gets a pound. The weight for age scale, it's a sliding scale. The more the season goes on, the less the younger horses get. So he's getting a pound as a 5-year-old. In a couple of weeks, he won't get anything at all. But yeah, he's favourite. I think you can understand why he's favourite again. But I'd just be a little bit worried about the fact that he's a five-year-old taking on all the horses. Durasso, Joseph O'Brien sends Durasso over, and he's a fascinating contender. The last time we saw him, he won a chase, a Grade 2 chase, the Webster Cup at Navan back in March. He beat Cadmium in that race, and Cadmium then went on to Aintree and won the Topham Chase doing handsprings. So that Durasso, you kind of maybe expected he'd be back over fences this season, but he was entered in the Grade 1 hurdle at Leopardstown over Christmas. He's entered in the Champion Hurdle, and he's here tomorrow at Haydock in the Champion Hurdle trial. So it's going to be fascinating to see how he gets on as a hurdler. You've got Cornerstone Lad in there as well, who beat Bouvardaire last time in the Tingle Creek in the Fighting Fifth Hurdle, and Bally Andy, who finished third behind Epitant in the Christmas Hurdle last time, will probably be better on the softer ground, which should bring his stamina into play. It's another small field, but it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Jane, who do you fancy in it?
I am scratching my head. I really like Pentland Hills. I didn't maybe think he didn't get the credit he deserved last year when he won at Cheltenham and Aintree. But he is, of the four, the lowest rated horse in the race. And I suppose it's because he was in his own age bracket last year. And the one time he's run in open company was when he did disappoint in the International Hurdle at Cheltenham last time. I like Don. I think I'd forgive him that. I think he raced a bit unprofessionally, a bit fresh. And I don't think Nico really knocked him about when his chance was gone at the back of the last in Cheltenham. I think he's better than we saw last time. Justifiably favourite. Durasso has a lot of potential. It's just a question of how much. And I think this is going to be a real test for him. Four-time winner in France before he even came to Joseph. And when he won the Red Mills Hurdle last year, he beat class horses. He beat Curse of Blime, Farclaw, Rashan. They set a fair standard. And I am intrigued about Cornerstone Lad. He's a big enough price for a horse who is the highest rated horse in here. He was a progressive handicapper. And obviously, when he beat Bouvardaire in the Fighting Fifth, Bouvardaire subsequently had a serious injury. So I wonder, can we take that literally? I'm really dubious about committing to any one of these horses. I think a lot of them are bubbling under. Maybe there's a dark horse going to emerge for the Champion Hurdle here, but they'll have to be impressive because this isn't as deep a race as some of the other trials.
John, just staying with Haydock, the Peter Marsh Chase. What do you fancy there?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting handicap, Marie. It always is. I suppose Acting Lass's favourite, and Acting Lass strangely is a gelding. You'd think he's a mare, but he's not. He's a gelding. He's 9 years old, but he's fairly likely race as a 9 year old. I suppose he was beaten last time by Regal Encore at Ascot. He went up another £3 for that. We're kind of getting to the level. We're getting to kind of know his level, and I think he might be a vulnerable favourite. Prime Venture is kind of second favourite, but he's probably a better horse at Chepstow than he is anywhere else, and definitely Red, who is a very, very good horse, but he's 11 years old now. He might just not be as good as he was. I think there's a mare in there, Midnight Tune, Anthony Honeyball's mare. She's a very likely race mare. She loves soft ground, and it's going to be very soft at Haydock and at Ascot tomorrow. She only just got home last time at Exeter, but that was over 2 miles, or an extended 2 miles. She's better over three. She'll appreciate the step up and trip. She loved the ground. She's in off a mark of 136, which is it's only £3 higher than she was when she ran really well in a race at Plumpton there last season. She's had her issues. She only raced twice last season, but she's a progressive mare who's got the potential to be ahead of her handicap mark, who'll love the ground, who'll stay the trip, and against one or two at the top of the market who might be vulnerable, I think she's an interesting horse in there.
Jane, Don mentioned Ascot there, and it'll be soft in the Betfair 365 Mares Hurdle. Who do you fancy in that?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Magical Light. Like a lot of people, I think she ran a huge race in the Aintree National last year. She was, you know, in really good spirits last year, and I thought she was very good last time. She won this race 12 months ago and is the highest rated mare in here. She deserves to be near top of the market, but she actually isn't, because Papagana of Oliver Sherwood's is top of the market, having been third in a Grade 1 last time behind Lamy Surge and The World's End. I would be taking her on. I thought that race that The World's End won was a Grade 1 in name, but not in nature. I thought the front two, the Lamy Surge, curled up in the last 200 yards and the race kind of stopped, whereas I don't think that'll happen the likes of Magical Light in this race. She apparently, according to Robbie Power, heads to Cheltenham if all being well after this, and then obviously goes back for another crack at the Aintree Nationals. So big targets for this mare. They obviously feel she's in the form of her life, that those targets remain on the table. So I think, while she's not favoured at the moment, she'd be the one I'm siding with, especially on a track we know she loves. A flat track, I think, is important to this mare.
Don?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Agree with all a lot of what Jane said there. I think Papagana might have been a bit flattered by her run the last day in the World's End, for all that she was progressive before that. But Magic of Light, I mean, you can't not like Magic of Light. Her run in the Grand National last year was an unbelievable run. She was a 66-1 shot. Paddy Kennedy gave her a super ride. And I suppose, you know, the fact that she was a 66-1 shot meant she was kind of under the radar then. But she won this race last year, and this has been a good race in the past. Le Bago Ra won it a couple of years ago. Vroom Vroom Mag won it a couple of years before that. So yeah, look, it's a good mare's race. You've got Sensolano in there as well, but you kind of think, having a look at Magical Light, you kind of think maybe she's just getting ready to go back to Aintree this year. But it doesn't seem like that's the be all and end all. Often you have Aintree horses, Grand National horses, they hide their light under a bushel for most of the season until the handicap ratings come out. But that doesn't seem to be the case with Magic of Light. And yeah, I think she should be nearly favourite for that.
And Jane, turning to Turles, you were saying it earlier, it's the biggest day of the year for them. The Horse and Jockey Hotels Chase, how do you think that'll go down? My old buddy Notebook, yeah, as I was calling Footpad.
this is a cracking race. This is a big day for Turles. It's a very popular track down here, and it's good to see the horses come out, because this track takes a lot of hard weather, a lot of hard beating all year, and this is a quality renewal of this race, formerly known as the King Loch Braes, now sponsored by the Horse and Jockey Hotel. And I think the former Arkell winner Footpad will lead the market. I think he's the highest rated horse in here, and he receives weight off every horse in the lineup. He won on his seasonal debut actually at Turles in November, and was running a good race in the King George before he didn't quite get home. So I think 2.5 miles is probably his optimum trip. I'd be hoping, if everything went well here, that he might be one for the Ryanair in March. Of his opposition, I love Hardline. I think he's a tremendously consistent horse. He is a dream to have anything to do with, because he usually always runs his race. He ran $1 million in the John Durkin when he was second to Min, but he disappointed last time at Leopardstown, and he's going to have to bounce back. Vodarev, Real Steel, bring a good level of form. Vodarev, a grade one novice himself, and Real Steel, premier handicap winner in Punchestown last May, and then came out and won a Down Royal in November grade two race. But Footpad sets the standard here. If all being well, I think over 2.5 miles, getting weight from all his rivals, it'll take a huge performance for him to get beaten.
Don, before we get your opinion on that race, how important is it for Turles? Like Jane was saying there, you know, biggest day of the year, for us to get out and get around.
Ah, yeah, no, it is a great day. It is important for Turles, but it's a massive day there. And like as Jane said, they're a great track. They race during the winter when a lot of other tracks can't race, and you know the soil down there is brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's like this race, they've been rewarded with this race, Dunica, because it's a cracking race. Like the entries were very strong, and you just hope that a lot of them stood their ground. Kaiser Black was in there as well. Pat Doyle's horse, be interesting to see him whenever he reappears. But Willie Mullins has Footpad and Real Steel and Voix du Rêve. Gordon Elliott has Hardline in there. Jessica Harrington has Jets. So it's a, you know, again, it's a relatively small field, not a smaller field as some of the races at Ascot or Haydock, but it's a top class renewal. It's a grade two race, and it deserves every inch of its grade two status. You know, with Footpad in there, like the multiple grade one winner, Voix du Rêve, as Jane said, also multiple grade one winner. Real Steel ran a big race to win at Den Royal, and then probably ran better than his finishing position suggests in the John Durkin chase last time, behind Min and behind Hardline. Actually, he finished fourth, Hardline finished second. He just kind of got a bit squeezed out of it in the run around the home turn and then kept on. But Footpad, it looks like this is his ideal trip. They tried the King George with him, and they were right to have a go at it, because when he won at Turles, that was over 2.6 miles, and he saw it out well, albeit in lesser company. He didn't get home, as Jane said, in the King George, so back over 2.5. That's probably very close to his optimum trip. And it was great to see him back the last time at Turles, because he jumped really, really well. He travelled well for Daryl Jacob. And Real Steel, you know, I suppose a bit disappointing in the John Durkin that he wasn't a wee bit closer, but Willie Mullins said at the start of the season he probably has to go right-handed, and Thurles is a right-handed track, so this is a good race for him as well. It's hard enough to pick between the Willie Mullins horses, not to mind picking what's going to win the race.
Is that important though, Jane, that the quality is there? You know, you could look at the numbers, but that's what maybe everyone wants, the Dom was saying, they're all the best in show.
Yeah, well, I suppose in soccer terms, if you have a Cristiano Ronaldo versus a Lionel Messi, it doesn't matter if you're surrounded by Jane Mangan and Dom McLean. Once those two players are on the pitch, they're fine. Yeah. I think the boring way to look at it is there's five runners in here and they'll average out the rating to make sure the grade two status of the race is solidified. And sometimes races get upgraded or downgraded year on year if the competition or the caliber of horse lining up in these races isn't up to scratch or is actually better than the status of the race. So that is important for Thurles as well, that they keep this a grade two. And who knows, down the line, when Limerick upgraded their novice chase to grade one, it was justified when you see the likes of Sam Crow and Faheen and Hardline and Get a Bird all lining up in those races. So yeah, five runners in here, three of them are Willie Mullins's. Tactics, I think, is always very interesting because it's easier maybe to read the race when you have five quality horses in here rather than 15 filling the numbers and potentially causing problems for the five quality horses, you know what I mean? So it's always very tactically interesting to watch visually when you have a small runner field.
Tonica, I'm guessing that when Jane was talking about Messi and Ronaldo, she was actually talking about us.
Can't really move me. Absolutely.
Don, I know you're really looking forward to the Coolmore Mares Novice Chase and Thurles as well.
Yeah, look, it's a good race, Marie. It's a grade two race. Willie Mullins probably holds the key again. There's no betting on it yet. I'd say Ellie May will probably be favourite. She was good the last time at Cork and she beat Augusta Gold, who reopposes. I thought Cut the Mustard actually ran very well at Limerick over Christmas. Like she wasn't really, didn't seem to be travelling early on, and then she stayed on really well for Mikey Fogarty to go on. She won well in the end. She came back on the bridle around the home turn and then stayed on really well. And another Willie Mullins horse, Paul Tenen, rides her. Mark Walsh, who rides for JP McManus, Ellie May's owner, he rides her. So it'll be interesting to see how those two go. And you've got Caravation in there as well, William Flood's horse, Philip Dempsey trains. She might have been a wee bit lucky to win last time at Naas, but she's an honest to God mare who was a good hurdler, good progressive hurdler last season. But I'd just be interested to see how Cut the Mustard will go. She's stepping up a little bit in trip from Limerick. I think, you know, maybe she could even get a wee bit further than 2.5 miles, but on soft ground, that should bring her stamina into play.
Jane, who do you fancy in that Coolmore Mares Novice Chase?
Yeah, I like Ellie May, justifiably favoured. I think she holds Augusta Gold and Tintangle on her form at Cork. But I do like Carvation as well. I think she's run some very good races in defeat and beginner's chases. She bumped into Catchback, Facu Didery and Bopome in a couple of beginner's chases. And while she might be a fortuitous winner at Naas last time when the favourite Good Time Tara came down, she deserved to get her day. She was a good bumper mare. She was a dual hurdle winner as well. I think she's a mare that will book out in front and there'll be a bit of pace on. Augusta Gold will probably go with her. I hope they don't set it up for a closer like Cut the Mustard, but Luke Dempsey's back from an injury riding for his dad Philip. He'll know the mare very well. I think she's a mare that might, because she's not coming from a big fancy yard like an Elliott or a Mullins, she might represent a bit of value on the day. We don't have prices yet, but she's a mare that'll give her running.
Yeah, Don, slower weekend, but what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, look, the horse and jockey chase, Donica, that's a cracking race. That's on Sunday at Thurles, so that's a highlight really of the day for sure. And then tomorrow, I suppose the big races at Ascot and Haydock, you know, the Defi de Soy v on the So, that rematch where I think and hope on the So can gain his revenge.
Yeah, Jane, it's probably the exact same for you, is it?
Yeah, I think the heart is telling me on the So, but the head is really saying that the 7-year-old Defi de Soy should be beating him. But it'll be enthralling nonetheless. It's a great matchup between the pair. And then I'm off to Thurles on Sunday to see some quality action there.
Brilliant. You're always torn, Jane, aren't you, between your heart and your head?
Is that a bad thing, though? Is it really?
No, it's not.
At least I know the difference between, I suppose, what I should and shouldn't be thinking.
Absolutely, but you can't give in to your heart sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, well, I suppose when I'm saying I'm going with my heart and my head, the head usually rules and Defi Desai will probably win. But sure, it would be boring if we said that at the start of the programme.
Very true. Absolutely. Don and Jane, thanks so much for joining us. As always, let's look forward to a great weekend of racing.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 6.